Art has traditionally been viewed as a good in itself, a benefit to the citizenry, something that should be supported to help create well-rounded individuals. In recent times, there's been a push against this view in governments, with artists having to prove the economic benefits of their practice. Well, what if art could do a whole lot more? Research compiled by the Cultural Learning Alliance in the UK claims that art has a range of benefits beyond intellectual advancement. They say students from low-income families who participate in the arts are 20% more likely to vote later in life, twice as likely to volunteer, and regular practitioners report being 38% more likely to have good health. It also claims prisoners who do art are 18% less likely to reoffend, something that doesn't surprise CEO of Indigenous Prisoners Art Project, The Torch, Kent Morris.
Not at all. What I am surprised, though, and what constantly surprises me in the program we're running is the extreme change in well-being and behaviour from men and women in the program. And whilst, of course, I envisaged that, I had no idea it would be to such an extraordinary level. So for Indigenous men and women, behaviour starts changing within the prison itself, and our support is very strong from corrections and from the prisons we work in, because they see the immediate impacts on behavioural change within the prison. And then what we're seeing in the post-release is an extraordinary ability and desire to make change that breaks that cycle of reoffending and cuts that recidivism cycle. Now, the arts is a fantastic way for healing. It's also a fantastic way. The art, you know, the Indigenous arts industry and the arts industry in general is very big in this country, so it's a great way to connect people back. But what we're finding particularly is just a level of confidence and self-esteem through understanding more about cultural identity, about your language group, about where you're from, the history of that language group, the stories surrounding it, some information that hasn't been passed down through families or has been just been lost or misplaced.
The idea behind the program, I suppose it seems fairly intuitive. Was it something that was just fairly intuitive to you that you could bring an idea like this to the state government of Victoria to reduce recidivism rates? Was it just an idea, an intuitive idea, or was it backed up by some research or experience of perhaps your own or other people?
Right, good question. So I pretty much built this program on my own personal experience and the support I was given in regard to my identity and family history and cultural history. My father was separated from his family through the Aboriginal Welfare Board, and we had a disconnect from our family histories and who we were. So over time, I was very fortunate to be supported by particularly the community of Melbourne to find about my history, my heritage and my culture. And through that process, and that always involved a cultural practice, and all those cultural practices are related to the arts. So I saw the dual combination of cultural learning and of connectivity, but also through expression and storytelling through the arts. So when I designed this program, I built it on my lived experience and the support that I was given by elders and many other community members here in Victoria.
Did you ever have any problems dealing with the commercial aspects of the program? I say commercial, the fact that that prisoners who take part in the program will be able to sell their works and make a profit from it. Did you ever encounter any difficulties with corrections in Victoria over this particular issue?
Well, look, I knew before I even started this program, and one thing Uncle Sandy Atkinson said to me, as did many of the other elders, they'd been fighting for over 40 years to try and find a way for Indigenous men and women incarcerated in prisons in Victoria to be able to sell their works so that upon release they wouldn't be back into the economic disadvantage that had often led them to prison in the first place. When this program started, that was, you know, we still weren't able to sell the works. We were, of course, once the men and women hit the post-release program, and that created unique challenges of its own. But for the last 2 years, through the Torch program, we have been able to sell artworks from men and women connected to the program, and that has had extraordinary benefits as well. But for men and women who are incarcerated and sell artworks through the Torch program, the money's held in trust until they're released. But importantly, the family on the outside can apply for some of that money to be released if it's for specific needs around, say, kids' educational needs or clothes for the kids so they can go to school and feel, part of an environment that is going to be beneficial to their upbringing.
Now, obviously, the program's just in Victoria. You've outlined all of the successes that you've had so far. I just wonder whether you might have difficulties, or a like-minded person might have difficulties trying to introduce a similar kind of program in other kinds of states. Other states don't allow for prisoners who produce art to make money from selling that art. I know you said that's not the primary purpose, but that's one of the components of it. Queensland, for example, expressly forbids it, and they take the profits made from any artwork made in prison and give them to charities. Do you think that other states should maybe rethink this type of policy?
Look, absolutely I do, and particularly in the area for Indigenous offenders and ex-offenders. We've built the Torch program particularly to address the high overrepresentation of Indigenous men and women in the criminal justice system and those high rates of recidivism. So when the program started, again, there was a policy in place here that works couldn't be sold, and sometimes there's confusion. None of the men and women in the Torch program are in prison for crimes against art. They're separate, and we're trying to then find a way to make sure that the situations and behaviours that have led them to prison in the first place, which impacts in many ways upon, you know, the victims and their families, and of course on the community in general, for the extraordinary rate or the cost of keeping so many men and women incarcerated. There's the social cost for the Indigenous community as well. But I think people do need to rethink this, because we're far better off having an innovative and smarter approach to incarceration, and particularly the huge issue of Indigenous incarceration, by understanding that we need to try and solve some of the core issues. And some of those core issues, whether we like it or not, are the severe social and economic disadvantage that a lot of Indigenous communities find themselves in. And, of course, that translates also to their time in prison. So it's something that we hope, as we try to take this program around the country, when we're talking to different governments in different states, and we're getting a lot of interest from around the country to have a program, the Torch program, developed there, is that this is whilst it's not a key point, it is a really important point in terms of building a sense of independence, and particularly economic independence.